Han vår, ge vår kvinser på. Amen. In today's gospel reading, we hear how the Pharisees come to Christ and they test him, saying, "By what authority do you do these things?" And they see it. They see the miracles he performs. They see the healings he does. They see his mission and ministry playing out. And they still ask him, "By what authority do you do these things?" They see the very authority of God, and yet they reject it. They don't accept it. They think they know better. It's similar to a very, very sick and ill man who is in a bed and is lying there. And the doctor comes and says, "This is the medicine you have to take." And instead of taking it, he refuses it and he says, "Who are you to tell me what to do? Who are you to tell me how to heal myself?" He allows his pride to blind him to the remedy in front of him. The same thing happens in the gospel today. The Pharisees see the great physician of this world and they refuse him. They reject him because their pride has blinded them. The question then is, where do we see Christ's authority today in this world? And many of us will say, it's in the church, it's in the Bible, it's in the priesthood. All these are great answers. But in my opinion, and this is only my opinion, so it's going to be correct. In my opinion, the place where we see Christ's authority the greatest is in Holy Communion. In Holy Communion, we see Christ who gathers his entire church together. He brings us all together under his authority as one body. It's just like as a family sits down for a meal together, that meal that they eat together says, "We belong together. We belong to this household, we belong to this family, we belong to each other." Likewise, when we gather around the Lord's table and receive Holy Communion, we also say that we belong together. We are one body, one family, one home. When the Pharisees tried to test Christ, they asked him questions. And he answered with a question about St. John the Baptist. What's interesting is he didn't argue with them. He didn't lay out a whole system of why they should believe in him, or why his authority is true, or where he gets his authority from. He merely revealed the truth. He revealed the truth to them. And in revealing the truth to them, they realized and saw their dishonesty. This is what Holy Communion does. Holy Communion does the same thing. It's not with arguments that we bring people together. And sometimes we do this. When we try to bring people to church, they give us an argument why they don't come to church. And we then begin to give reasons why they should. Oh, we need this, or we need that, or your presence is important, you're violent, etc., etc. But in reality, we only need to reveal the truth to them. And in revealing the truth, we tell them that they belong to us, and we belong to them. When they partake in the holy and precious body and blood of Christ, they become part of this body. Whether they like it or not, we become brothers and sisters together. Christ said, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I live in him." This is what happens when we receive Holy Communion. God physically dwells within us. It's not symbolic. He physically dwells within us. And this is the greatest weapon we have against the evils in this world. It's because when Christ dwells within us, God is physically with us. And this terrifies Satan. Because when Satan knows that God is in each of us, he is scaredless. Because St. John Chrysostom says, "The Eucharist is a fire that inflames us, that like fire-breathing lions, we may retire from the altar and be made terrible to the devil. The authority of God is transformative, and it makes us different. Saint Cyril of Jerusalem says, by partaking in the body and blood of Christ, you become one body and one blood with him. Thus, we become true Christ bearers. True Christ bearers. And because of this, Satan will stop at nothing to prevent you from doing that. Christ wants you to come, and Satan will try to prevent you. And he does this through grudges, through laziness, through distractions, through endless important tasks that you have to do, so that you do not come and receive God, and that God does not dwell within you. But there is nothing more transformative, nothing more empowering, nothing more important than receiving Christ in Holy Communion. So what must we do? First, we must reconcile with each other. Before approaching, and the deacons even sing this a couple of times throughout the liturgy, but before we approach, we need to ask, do I need to give forgiveness or ask for forgiveness from someone else? Because if we need to, then we should not approach Holy Communion. It means nothing to be good with God if we're not good with our brothers and sisters. Because when we become one body, that means we become one body with each other. We must learn to forgive and give forgiveness even if it hasn't been asked. Second, we have to practice this at home. At home, around the table, we need to treat our meals like mini courses of receiving Holy Communion. This means we start with prayer. We say blessings to each other, good things, thanksgiving to one another. We help one another and we listen to one another. By doing this, we practice and we become Vajravads. Trained. We become trained in learning how to receive and partake in Holy Communion. And then also we have to prepare each week by asking ourselves, what has been keeping me away from Christ this week or today? What has been distracting me? What has been preventing me from being completely focused on Christ? When we do these things, we see how Holy Communion ceases to be just a habit that we do, and it becomes transformative and making us true Christ bearers. So today in the gospel, the leaders rejected Christ's authority, but today we are invited to receive it. And for in Holy Communion, authority gathers us together as a community. His word communicates truth to us that we must live. And his presence transforms us into Christ bearers. So when you approach the chalice, whether it be today, if you are prepared, or next week, or whenever the next time is, that you approach the chalice to receive Holy Communion, remember, it is not mere bread and wine. It is the living body of Christ, the living blood of Christ that says to you, it is no longer you who lives in you, but I who live in you. Amen.